Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is that Passion Gospel from Luke chapter 23, very lengthy passage and yet such an important one, filled with all kinds of details about Jesus' crucifixion and death. We start in the passage with Jesus' trial before Pontius Pilate, and of course we end with him being buried in the tomb. But throughout that passage, I don't know if you noticed this, but there are lots of different voices that we get to hear. Lots of familiar voices we hear. And yet the most important voice we hear through all of it is our Lord and Savior Jesus, who speaks words of grace and mercy in the midst of all the chaos and confusion. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, lately I've been feeling like my daughter is getting a little too big for her britches. And honestly, this is something that's been going on for a long time. She's acted kind of older than her age for a long time now. A couple years ago, we used to call her a three-nager. Now she's five. I'm not sure what you're supposed to call that. Five going on 15, something like that. But anyway, there have been a few incidents that have come up recently that kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. Just, it seems to be like times when Zoe boldly talks about things that she thinks she understands, but she really only understands them the way a five-year-old could, right? So, for example, a few weeks ago, Katie and I had to go to the hospital in Breeze because Katie had one of her baby checkups, and we brought Zoe with us. And when we pulled into the parking lot, there's some spaces that are close to the door that are specifically reserved for expectant mothers. And there's signs that mark these spaces, and they're like white signs with green writing on them, and they have a picture of a stork in the middle who's got, you know, a baby blanket in his beak, right? Well, Zoe sees the sign as we pull into the space, and she can't read the sign, but she can see the picture, so she says, you know, she's going on and on about how the rule at this hospital is no pelicans taking stuff. I didn't realize that Clinton County had a pelican theft problem, but, you know, we'll keep an eye out. A few days later, Zoe had her own five-year-old pediatrician checkup, and the nurse practitioner toward the end of the visit just kind of like tongue-in-cheek decided to ask Zoe if she had any questions or concerns. And so that was kind of supposed to be a joke, but Zoe took it very seriously, and she started talking about all these concerns she has about her brother Zach, how he would go down the slide at the Chick-fil-A play area, and sometimes it's a little dark in there, and sometimes there's a lot of kids playing in there, and there might be a traffic jam. And it's just kind of interesting to me, coming from somebody who normally is not all that concerned about her brother's physical well-being when we're at home, but I guess that's just another story. And so there's a lot of, you know, cute, harmless stories like that, but it can be kind of problematic too. The other day, we heard from one of her preschool teachers that she hadn't been really following instructions very well in class. And she was gently reminded that the fourth commandment says that we are to obey our parents and our teachers, to which she replied by rolling her eyes and saying, I know everything about the Bible. We are in so much trouble. Pastor's kids, right? Like I said, a little too big for her britches. On the other hand, seriously, it is nice for her to have that much confidence, right? Even if she doesn't have a clue what she's really talking about half the time. And I was thinking about that kind of naive boldness as I was considering the theme for our service today, Palm Sunday, and especially as I was looking at this Passion Gospel reading from Luke chapter 23. It's interesting to me, as we now enter into Holy Week and as we consider all of the events that take place in the last week of Jesus' life, it's interesting how many different voices we hear, as I mentioned before. Many of these voices are boldly proclaiming things, without really having any real understanding of what's truly going on. And so we began the service today with our palm processional. We had the kids waving their palm branches, and that reminds us of the crowd that was there welcoming Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, right? They're shouting, "Hosanna," which means "save us now." And yet, how many of the people in that enthusiastic crowd really understood what was happening right in front of their eyes? How many of them really understood that Jesus was the king riding into the city, prepared to die to save the world from sin? I would guess that not many in that crowd really understood that. And the rest of this reading here today is filled with these kinds of voices too. Loud voices, bold voices, and yet somewhat ignorant voices. You have the chief priests and the elders, and they go and they talk to Pilate, and they say to Pilate, "We found this man misleading our nation." That's what they really thought was going on. You have King Herod in our passage. King Herod is more interested in seeing if Jesus can perform some miracle, you know, like a circus animal, than he is in Jesus as the Messiah. You have the crowd's voice. The crowd is shouting for Pilate to release Barabbas, a murderer, and yet crucify Jesus, innocent Jesus. And you've got the voice of Pilate, who just kind of gives in to the peer pressure of that crowd. Later on, as Jesus is being crucified, you also have another voice. You have the criminal who is crucified next to him, and this criminal, according to Luke, is just railing at Jesus, right? So there's all these voices, all these people who have no real understanding of what's happening, no understanding of, you know, this Messiah that God was sending to save his people. In fact, in the case of people like Pontius Pilate, people who really don't understand what a Messiah was supposed to be in the first place. And yet, that lack of understanding does not keep them from opening their mouths. It doesn't keep them from spewing out hateful things about our innocent Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even to the point where their words lead him to this awful, terrible crucifixion. There's nothing cute and funny and harmless about this kind of ignorance. In this case, the ignorance literally is a matter of life and death. But in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this craziness and the confusion of that fateful week in Jerusalem, there stands our Savior, who is the exact opposite of ignorance. The one who knows everything there is to know, because as God in the flesh, Jesus is the fountain and source of all knowledge. He fully understands what is about to take place, and he speaks boldly from that position of knowledge. You just contrast the voice of Jesus in this passage from all of the other voices that I just mentioned. You see how when Pontius Pilate asks Jesus if he is the king of the Jews, Jesus doesn't deny it, right? Like you might expect somebody to who is facing capital punishment. No, Jesus just very boldly says, "You have said so." When Jesus is taken away and he's being led to Golgotha, and there's all these women along the road who are weeping and mourning for him, Jesus speaks from knowledge about the things that are going to happen in Jerusalem, things that are going to take place in the future when the Romans come in and they destroy everything in 70 AD. We're talking about decades later, and yet Jesus is able to speak from that position of knowledge because he knows what's going to happen. But then, from the cross, the voice of Jesus becomes a voice of mercy. Because the Son intimately knows the Father like no one else. Jesus actually knows God's love for his children like no one else does. And so, like in verse 34, Jesus asks the Father to forgive those who were murdering him. In verse 43, he assures the repentant criminal next to him that on that very day, he will be with him in paradise. in verse 46. The voice of Jesus commits himself, his spirit, to the Father. Only someone who really knows what they're talking about can say these words in these circumstances and have that bring any comfort to people like you and me whatsoever, right? If Jesus wasn't God in the flesh, if he wasn't co-equal with the Father, if he was more like just a preschooler who's just kind of making it up as he goes along, not only would this not be cute, but it would be eternally deadly. True knowledge of God brings comfort to the world. Which brings me to the next reason why today is such an important day. Up in front here, I've got six young men and women who are about to use their voices. They're about to speak, and they're going to stand up in front of all of you, and they're going to confess the faith that was given to them in baptism. They're going to promise you that they believe all the things that you believe about Jesus, about the Bible, about eternal life and salvation. They're going to promise you that they're going to worship here in this congregation with you, and they're going to come up to this altar and receive communion with you. They're going to promise that they are going to hold on to this faith as long as they live. And my prayer for the six of you today, honestly, is that the words that you're about to say don't become some sort of nonsense, like talking about pelicans trying to steal stuff. All six of you have the knowledge and the experience to take ownership of this faith, to claim this faith as your own. Those of us who were here on Wednesday night at the questioning, we heard you speak about your faith in your own words. You're not babies anymore. So, say it. Say it like you mean it. And even more importantly, mean it like you say it. Because just like we saw with the crucifixion of Jesus, when words about God are spoken by people who really do know what it is they're talking about, that can bring comfort like nothing else in the world, comfort that is beyond imagination. And the same thing is true for the rest of us, too. You know, we see that the world is filled with chaos and disorder. Confusion and brokenness and heartache and anger seem to rule the day, and yet we've been given a message that the world desperately needs to hear. We know that Jesus is not only the King of the Jews, as Pilate was questioning, but Jesus is the King of the universe. So, say it like you mean it. Jesus is the one who has saved us from our sins and has promised us eternal life. Say it like you mean it. Jesus is the one who has died and risen again so that death would never be the final answer for us. Say it like you mean it. Jesus is the one who will come again and will finally bring peace and restoration to this dying world. Say it like you mean it. Because, you know, when the world is filled with people who are hurting and who are broken, and when it seems like the worst things are happening and that there's no escape, may it be true that those of us who actually do know what we're talking about through faith in Christ about God's love, may it be that that would lead others to confess what we confess, what you're about to confess about Jesus, that he is Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Say it like you mean it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.